FM Rewind, Vow 88.1. Science Wise on Vow 88.1.
Please help me welcome Professor Johan Ferreira. Mr. Johan. Professor Johan?
Good evening. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Professor Johan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Apologies about the technical glitch that we had there. But since we're already here, would you kindly describe what statistic really is beyond just numbers and equations?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point of reflection. I think a lot of us are stuck from a high school experience in statistics in terms of thinking what is a mean and what is a variance. Mm. And I must say, even though that is a large part of it, it's much more than that. And now, after several years that I've spent doing some statistical research and a lot of teaching, my mind tends to come back to thinking that's actually all it is again.
So statistics is often seen as a difficult or abstract field. Why do you think it's so fundamental to science in everyday decision-making?
I think the most important thing that statistics holistically or comprehensively describes is the fact that it is used to understand data in a way that the data itself might not be able to tell you so much about.
Mm.
So thinking about what intricacies and tiny backgrounds of the data that is actually there, statistics helps us to gain that type of insights and to learn a lot more about the data than otherwise. Mm. I think that's super useful, and I think that is super exciting going forward as well.
Mm. So can you give us a brief sense of how statistics developed historically and how it evolved into the modern discipline we know today?
Statistics, yeah. I mean, it comes from, it is actually has a background that's very strong in mathematics.
Mm.
There were some famous statisticians, or actually mathematicians, a few hundred years ago. A major one was the German philosopher or the German scientist Karl Gauss. Mm-hmm. And Gauss was the first theorist or mathematician who actually described certain things that we still use today. I like to think that statistics was never really invented. It's the same thing with math. We just keep on discovering aspects of it, because so much of what is happening in real life happens regardless of whether statistics exists or not. Statistics is just a language that we use to interpret it.
Mm.
And so from back then, what Gauss did, even some of the stuff that Newton did, it carried through until a world where I think mankind started, or let me rather say humankind started jotting down more data. And when more records were being kept from, you know, noble houses, governments, they wanted to understand more about, okay, if we're going to write down everything about how many bales of wheat or corn is being made, or how many people there are, and how much water we need, and how much food we need, how can we summarize this in a slightly more convenient way?
Mm.
And that actually then, I think, gave rise to where statistics really came from. Mm. And then when we move into the 20th century, the reflection on suddenly humankind had access to computers.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, we realize how much data we all are making. I mean, between you and I, how many times have we checked our emails today? How many times have we opened Instagram?
Mm.
How many transactions on our bank accounts in the last month?
Mm.
And all of these things are data points, right? So there's just these tons and tons and tons of data being created all the time. And now we can keep track of that in so much better ways. So over the last 50, 60, 70 years, it's developed because we have the ability or the computational power to analyze this in a meaningful way.
Mm.
And then in the last 10, 15 years, there's been this move towards a strong, even stronger computer science integration, which has led us to where we are now in terms of whatever machine learning means and artificial intelligence and Gen AI. When you think about ChatGPT or Copilot or all of these tools, they are fundamentally probabilistic in nature. trying to guess the best answer of what you want when you give ChatGPT or Copilot a prompt. So in all of those contexts, all of this starts way back when, even before that, there are histories where the Egyptians kept track of the rising levels of the Nile to establish when would be a good time to plant, when would be a good time to harvest. And all of these things are rooted in mankind's need for understanding data and trying to predict the future, which is effectively what we are trying to do in most fields of statistics.
Interesting. So many people associate statistics with data science, right? So how do the two connect, and in what ways does classical statistics still play a vital role?
Yeah, data science, I mean, if you ask the next person, you'll get a very different answer. So I am by, in no way trying to sound like I am the authority on that definition.
Yeah.
But data science is a very broad idea of many different role players or stakeholders that is involved in understanding data. Mm. And that includes individuals or the fields of informatics. That includes the fields of computer science. That includes the fields of mathematics. And invariably, it also definitely includes the field of statistics. Mm. So classical statistics laid the groundwork for so much of what is happening currently in data science. And it is very reasonable for anybody to be a little bit confused about, are they really different? So I would never tell anybody, you are being silly. Why don't you understand the difference? To be fair, not a lot of people do. Even people who are quote-unquote experts in data science.
Mm.
Classical statistics is predominantly, usually, more mathematical focused and not necessarily such a big reliance in terms of how we define it in terms of what computer science would have implied.
Mm.
But now, in the world where we have so much data, trying to understand that data, we need more partners in understanding it. That partners, I'm talking about partners in terms of mathematicians, partners in terms of computer scientists, partners in terms of applied mathematicians, and partners in terms of statistics. Mm. So it's definitely very closely related, but I do personally, of course, I would argue that data science would not exist if it was not for statistics, definitely.
Hmm. So you've spent years teaching statistics at the university level. What do you find most rewarding about helping students understand the subject of mathematics?
Yeah, well, statistics.
Apologies.
The mathematics course.
Apologies about their stats. Mm.
Yeah, no. I think one of the most rewarding aspects of it all is to highlight to students that point where they realize, that point of self-realization, that so much of what we do is actually statistics. And it makes us human in a sense, because when I drive to work in the mornings, I have to leave at a certain time and I have to think, is there a good chance that I will arrive at work by, let's say, 9 a.m.? Mm. And I need to make a decision based on that. I make that decision based on, you know, previous types of data. I make that decision based on, will there be rain? Will there be traffic on the M1, things like that. And that influences my decision to come to a conclusion, which is the whole basis upon which statistics is built.
Mm.
Now, in a classroom setting, that I often refer to that, my students would know, I refer to that as intuition.
Mm.
And I think that's very important that we develop a sense of statistical intuition or become aware of how pliable our idea of statistics can actually be.
Mm.
So one of the most rewarding things, if I have to immediately think of one thing, is when I can see and I can experience by the time that a student can leave my class with a deeper and more meaningful understanding about their true mathematical, or I would rather want to say statistical intuition. And because that makes you a stronger student. It makes you a stronger human being. There's a saying, they often say, students education is what remains after you forget what you learn in class.
Mm.
So as much as the content in my class is important, I like to think the idea of intuition and being able to become a problem solver in many ways more than one, I think is the true value. And when I can see and sense that from students, that is a major, major rewarding point for me to experience.
So what are some of the misconceptions about statistics that you've often come across among students or the general public?
Of course, I'm very biased. You know, I've spent a lot of time around statistics in my life already.
Yeah.
But one major misconception, in my opinion, is that people tend to think statistics is really difficult.
Mm.
And to be honest, I am not so sure that it's really difficult. As I've mentioned earlier, I think if there are people who experience it as really difficult, it's because you have not yet had the opportunity to really build your own sense of intuition around the subject, because it is actually so natural what we do. We just formalize it in a statistics class to write down, to capture in one way or another this human systems that actually happen all around us.
Mm.
So I'd like to think a misconception is that statistics is really difficult.
Mm.
I think it's not necessarily for everyone. It's the same, you know. I'm not playing for the Springboks or for Bofana Bofana, because I will be no good on the field.
Mm.
But that's not my strong point. Mm. But I think I could probably become a very average soccer player or rugby player if I wanted to.
Mm.
But that's not my strong point. So I do not want to have anybody think my implication is that statistics is for everyone.
Mm.
I think statistics can be for everyone, but it will not be the same way that rugby or soccer is not for me.
True.
So that is a major misconception that I want, that I think deserves a point of reflection for everyone to say, okay, statistics, not the most terrible thing. I understand its value. I think it's really cool, but it's not for me. Mm. I think that is a valuable self-point of improvement as well towards discipline.
Mm. So if you don't mind sharing, what are some of the challenges that have you encountered in your journey in stats that come at the top of your head right now?
A major challenge, and this is a challenge that is not only for me as a statistician, I think it's a challenge for postgraduate students in statistics or even in other fields.
Mm.
Even for the public, is that we live also in an era where there's such a lot of data.
Mm.
And you cannot open a newspaper, you cannot look on News24, the app, you cannot open X, formerly Twitter, you cannot look at anything and there will be data everywhere. There's a histogram everywhere. Mm. There's a graph showing what the inflation rate is doing, everything.
Mm.
So a major, major challenge, I think, is that we are also very overwhelmed with data. Oh, unemployment is up by X percent.
Mm.
The tariffs of the US has been introduced by X percent, something like that. So there's just so much data going around and so many numbers, and it tends to scare us off because it's so overwhelming.
Mm.
And the challenge in that lies with being comfortable or believing in yourself enough that you know that there are a lot of challenges and there are also a lot of data and a lot of aspects related to that that makes that part of our daily life.
Mm.
And to acquaint yourself with that in a way that the numbers should not scare you off of living a good life, if that makes sense.
So how do you see the role of statistics changing in today's data-driven world, especially in Africa's growing research landscape?
That's a good question.
Mm.
I think statistics is becoming even more essential. Of course, you know, you can ask any other academic in any other discipline and they will tell you the same thing about their discipline. So this is not necessarily unique to statistics.
Mm.
But I think the role of statistics is exactly what I've mentioned earlier. We need to build an intuition and a sense of comfort with being confronted by so much data all the time. And we need to not necessarily become statistical experts, but we need to be what I'd like to call statistically savvy, so that we can look at something and understand the context, even if we don't understand the problem in its entirety. We cannot expect every human on Earth to be an expert in absolutely everything. But to not let a lot of data and this world of this data-driven world scare us off from understanding and appreciating what is happening in the world around us.
In 2021, you launched a meaningful project that uses storytelling to teach statistical concepts. How did that idea come about?
I was concerned with how much screen time everyone was consuming, and I had a shortage of engagement with the students in my class. For that purpose, I decided, just as a curiosity, I gave my students an assignment where I spoke to them about, or I asked them to write a short story, like the story they would tell a younger brother or sister or nephew, sibling. You know, one of those stories that you make up just to lull somebody to sleep.
Yeah.
And I asked the students, write me a story, but use the concepts that we've discussed in class as the main characters, and use the aspects in data analysis that is often challenging to work with. Use that aspect as a villain and show me how you can defeat the villain by using some appropriate statistical technique. So it really was born out of a point of frustration that I had, because I felt like I didn't have enough engagement. And I thought, let us try something drastically different, and just to have a look at how we can change the way we think about statistics and what it means for us in our minds.
So how did the students respond to the idea of turning statistical concepts into creative stories?
It was actually so special. And a lot of students wrote very, very meaningful and interesting stories. And when I learned, it felt to me, even though I've been teaching for a number of years, there was one of the few times that I actually had a real insight into how students take the concepts that we teach and how they make them their own. And I was so taken by the ideas and the stories that I actually approached the library to ask them, is there a way we can make this just into a tiny little book? I just want to keep the story safe. You know, I don't want it to be just another forgotten assignment. And then after that, the library said, yeah, but we don't really do that anymore. But here is the name of a publisher. Maybe speak to them about it. The publisher was so, so excited about the project that I applied then for a grant, for a research grant, which helped me to fund the publication of this book. And it has been published as a collection of short stories where each student is the author of their own story. I'm just the editor. I was just the compiler of it all. And as part of the grant, I also got an illustrator who drew some of the concepts in each story. So it really gives it a storybook feel, and also in line with what I asked the students originally about, you know, imagine you have to tell this to a younger sibling. So it really made that come to life to make it a true storybook. So the students' response was amazing out of a very large class. I only receive about 35 or so stories, but for me, that was a big win because it was not compulsory. It was a completely optional assignment. Students could choose to do it. I also know, of course, that, you know, students are overwhelmed with the amount of work that they have to do, not only in my class necessarily, but in all of the other subjects. So got them to do it on their own accord. And their response and the creative outlet that they provided me some insight into was just amazing to see. And it's now been published as a book.
Wow. Could you share a few examples of these characters or storylines that stood out to you?
What really stood out to me in particular was how some students really made the story relevant to their own context. When I say that, there are students, there's one story that is set in terms of a murder mystery in downtown Braamfontein. There is a story based on an elephant that struggles to cross a certain bridge in Kenya. There are so many different ways in which students really, you know, brought it back to a familiar environment for them, or where they grew up from, or that is culturally significant to them. And I think that was such a valuable insight for me and for many other people who have since commented on the book, to see how we can remove a quote-unquote Western sense of what we do, and we can contextualize the meaning of this type of statistics that we do inside our own hearts, in our own contexts, in our own lives. So some of these stories was just, I mean, all of the stories are incredible. Some of them really made me feel very, made my heart feel quite warm, because it showed me, it highlighted to me on a very human level, instead of just an empty argument, you know, on a very human level, how the students are experiencing the subject and how they can actually personalize it so that it's meaningful to them in particular.
You've also mentioned that the stories are now being translated into different South African languages. Why is that step significant?
Yes, the stories are... I actually, just this morning, I received one of the translation versions. I'm now having it proofread by a statistician whose native language is... you know, the language into which it's been translated. So there are three versions that's due for publication, probably in January or in February. I also applied for funding from a very generous donor, the Center of Excellence for Maths and Stats. And they funded this project for the translations, because translation can be quite a costly exercise. And now... the translations have been completed, and we are proofreading it to make sure that the essence of the story doesn't get lost and that it's still statistically meaningful. And it's been translated into Afrikaans and also into Setswana and also into Sepedi. I think this is very, very important, and I think there's such a particular value in this, because it will be the first time that statistical content, even though it might be arguably somewhat unconventional in the short story sense, but it will give so many students the chance to think about statistics and the stuff that they do in class in a language that they grew up with, instead of only English. And there's an incredible value in that, not only for undergraduate students, but also for high school students who are thinking about maybe studying something in a data science sense or something in a statistical sense. So immediately it has an appeal towards a slightly younger audience for high school students. We try to edit the stories in such a way that, you know, you do not need to be a statistician to read it. You can be, anyone can read it, because I mean, even though you and I, we've never seen a unicorn, but I can imagine what it looks like, and you can imagine what it looks like. And if a story has a unicorn, we can imagine and we can move on with the rest of the story. And the same thing goes for the statistical concepts that's addressed in the book. But we edit it in such a way to minimize the level of stats or really mathematics that one needs. So to be able to consume this in a home language, in a language that's dear to you, in... I read somewhere once that said, your true home language is the language that you count in when you do not realize. So if you are caught off guard and you are counting something in Setswana or in isiZulu or in Afrikaans or in whichever language, that is your home language. And to have statistical content written in such a way that it is, number one, a story, number two, perhaps educational, in a language that is home to you, I think is incredibly important to make us realize the humanity of the subject as well.
Do you think storytelling and creativity could have a place in other areas of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM education?
I think once we start thinking about it, we'll realize that the two, they cannot exist Nothing in STEM can exist without storytelling and creativity.
Mm.
It's the major basis for so much of invention and innovation. And you have to imagine a world where the idea that you have is possible, whether it's science, technology, engineering, math. You have to imagine that it can work, the problem that you're trying to solve. Mm. And once we are imagining anything, we are trying to tell a story from the start to the end. And then the solutions that you come up with when you're a postgraduate student or when you are a researcher, even when you're an undergraduate student, there's such a strong component of creativity that is involved in that, that actually it's not, the question should not be, do you think storytelling and creativity could have a place in other STEM areas? The real question, I think, would be, do we realize what large place storytelling and creativity actually has already and is necessary for good STEM education?
Hmm. Finally, what message would you like students and educators to take away from this project about learning and about statistics itself?
Everything is a story. And when I struggle with something, with a problem or with a research problem, and the very natural thing to do is to imagine it as a story that I just don't know the plot line of yet.
Mm.
It's a useful way of rethinking how we can go about solving problems, not exclusively to statistics, but this project is, of course, based in statistics. Mm. And there's a huge value in how we can think and appreciate the sciences when we realize that science without the arts and without the social sciences is empty dreams. And so this blending, when we think about art and storytelling and science communication and how we converge as humans, is actually essential to STEM. Otherwise, STEM would lose any kind of impact if there's no human involvement. And the storytelling and the social sciences and the arts is what makes us human at the end of the day. And I think it's important for us to reflect on that and realize why it's so important to integrate those in a meaningful way.
Hmm. Professor, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the insights that you've given us tonight, and enjoy the rest of the evening. Before I let you go, where can people try to, like, if they want to follow more of your work, where can they get a hold of you in terms of like LinkedIn or any website they can get in contact with you?
Yeah, I have, you can find me on LinkedIn, Johan Ferreira, Ferreira. Mm-hmm. But if you page to the School of Statistics and Actuarial Science website from the University of the Witwatersrand, you can find my name under the list of staff members. And on that page, there is a link to my personal page that I host myself, where I describe a little bit more about who I am, the type of research that I'm interested in, the students that I get to work with, and the type of involvement that I have in the broader academic environment, including this short story book.
Mm.
So I will definitely post there, and I will also post on LinkedIn as soon as the translated versions of the storybooks are available. But please, if there's anybody who wants to chat or just wants to dream about something in terms of statistics, even general mathematics, I'll be thrilled to hear from any of you.
Mm. Prof, thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Talk with you.
It's only a pleasure, sir.
Science Wise on VAL 88.1. FM Rewind. VAL 88.1.